Hello, hello, everybody. This is Sunny. Welcome to the Sunny Point Podcast. Today in this podcast episode, we will review the first quarter, that is quarter one, January to March 2023, for the stock market. How did it do? How did the different asset classes do? What were the main stories? What were the main stocks and sector moves? And what does it mean for things going ahead? I will also address some questions that I received that I put out there, and that I'm doing a quarter end podcast, and I would like to answer the questions you have. So I collected them as well. So today's episode, we're going to walk through them, through the first 3 months. How were they for the markets, for the investing landscape, and what do we do? So welcome, and I made sure to not have any April Fool pranks or jokes here. So everything you hear is for real. Okay, let's get started. Okay, let's start. January 2023, how was it? Let's compare and contrast. First of all, 2022 was a terrible start to the year. 2021 ended quite well, and 2022 started off really bad. So if we look at the chart of S&P 500, you would realize that if you see from the start of 2021, like, of course, 2021 was a great year for the markets. It started from 3714. It reached a peak of 4766 in December 1, and January 1, it was 4515. So it went from 3700 something to 4500 something, right? And then from 2022, it started, the correction straight away started from 4045. It went to 4373 in February, went up back again in March. But then just after that, it kept dropping, and went back. And 2022, it reached 3585. That was the bottom in September. And now, September, October. And now, talking about 2023 start, it has started very different. It started very different from 2022. It was a great start to the year. We started S&P 500 from at the point of 3824. And if you did a survey of everybody at that time, which there were a lot, if you asked around, which a lot of podcast episode had segments of asking people around, people including investors, individual investors, bankers, analysts, everybody you could ask on Wall Street, everybody said we will retest October lows, which would be like we will go back to 3200, 3300, 3400 levels. Well, that did not happen. We got off a great start right off the bat. Nobody believed that it will continue. But February 1, we were at 4119. So from 3800 and 3824 to 4119. That was a great start to the year. Stocks hope rose mostly on hopes. They rose mostly on the hopes of a Fed pause. You could say that. You could also say, you know, things just reverse. Start of the year, new fund flows come in, new allocations come in. And many times, just like, you know, the years before, if a year is really bad, it's followed by a good year. That comes up with optimism. Although I would say nobody expected it on the street. Nobody said it would be the case, but that's what happened. Stocks rose on the hopes of a Fed pause. That was January. Tech stocks rose a lot. We'll talk about who did how later. February, what happened? Well, we thought the Fed was going to be on pause, and February saw the inflation data that was hotter than anticipated. Okay, so we thought we were done with inflation. It was coming down, even though slowly, or even though sometimes very slowly, but it was coming down. But February data was hotter, and this started the markets to feel again that, Fed cannot stop any longer. It has to keep going, and maybe it has to keep going stronger. The March rate hike again came into the picture. Some said they will raise by 25 bips, 50 bips. So, hey, markets not only paused the hopes, but started retracing after that. So February was not good for the market. So February 1, market started at 4119, as we said, and it ended the month of February at 3970. So market gave up some gains after a very strong January, and those were mostly driven by hotter than anticipated inflation data. What happened in March? Well, The biggest story in March was the failing of banks. So two major banks, Signature Bank and Silicon Valley Bank, failed. And that rose, that gave birth to a whole new systemic anxiety around financial system. Thankfully, so far, we can say that nothing worse has panned out except those two banks. Of course, if you're a stockholder and an investor, you know that the entire banking sector has been crushed. So the small banks, regional banks, including even some major banks who have a lot of interest rate risk built into their finances, have been crushed. So Bank of America, with a high of 40, now is at 28, right? Wells Fargo came down from mid-40s to 37. So they have also had a drop, but nothing like the regional banks. So S&P Regional Bank ETF, symbol KRE, January 30th, for example, it was 64. Now it's at 44. So 64 to 44. This is an index. Indexes don't fall that fast, that much. You know, it's not an individual stock. So, well, anyway, March was the story of those banks, and the Fed still pushing and raising rates by 0.25%. But even with that, the markets keep rising. And the way we could explain the last part, I guess, is the hope that the Fed is almost done and there is no financial havoc in the system. So we're not saying, I guess the whole time we're wondering if we could have a soft landing. The chances of that have gone down, but there's no clear reason other than the fact that the Fed has done increasing rates, and with this financial crisis anxiety now, hopefully the lending, well, not hopefully, but maybe the lending will go down, and that will have further effect on the system, that Fed will not feel like raising rates again. At the same time, we would not have a recession, at least not a bad recession. So that's what happened. Look at the numbers of the returns between NASDAQ, S&P 500, and Dow Jones. Well, NASDAQ was up 17% for 3 months. NASDAQ, which is mostly tech stocks and healthcare stocks, but mostly tech stocks and biotech, was the highest, the biggest gainer. S&P 500 was up 7%, so top 500 stocks. And Dow, the good old stocks of the old economy, was unchanged, actually. So it depends. Last year was much better for Dow. So it all depends where you invested. Last year and this year, there has been so much divergence in how the stocks have been performing. Last year, financials and energy were the ones that were doing good, and healthcare. This year, they're the ones not doing good. It's the exact opposite of last year. So the biggest gainers, if you look at, have been the tech stocks. NVIDIA up 87% in 3 months. In 3 months, NVIDIA is up 87%. Meta is up 73%. Meta who? Meta Facebook. Facebook is up 73%. We've heard a lot of news about the layoffs, as well as increased scrutiny over TikTok. All that is helping Meta. Tesla up 59%. So keep a look at this. Take a look at how some of the tech stocks have performed so much better. Now, on the other side, losers. The biggest losers in these 3 months, well, of course, financials. First Republic Bank, who is being touted as it could be the next bank to fail. Don't want to say anything because it may not be, but hey, the stock has already taken a hit. First Republic Bank in this 3 months were down 89%. Like, how can you invest if you can't believe that even you would have 15% of your investment left in 3 months? First Republic Bank down 89%. Zions Bancorp, again, one of the ones less risky than First Republic Bank, but still so, 38%. And Schwab down 37%. And that Schwab is as an interesting take, and it points to a way bigger problem with the banking and financial system, because Schwab is not technically an entire bank operation. It has a lot of exposure that is brokerage and investment management. A little part of it is banks. But the reason that Schwab has fallen so much is not that it will fail necessarily, The CEO came on TV multiple times and even said that they've actually had fund inflows, not outflows. Outflows is how a bank fails. But what is the reason then? Well, some other research has pointed out that greater than 50% of the profits of Schwab are generated out of the interest generated on the cash it keeps, deposits it keeps, which it doesn't pay back to the consumers. So basically, investors who keep their money with Schwab and don't get any interest, Schwab earns interest on that. But now, with the amount and the pace and the speed of movement we're seeing in capital, where people are moving money from bank to bank, one institution to the other institution, from zero rate deposits to high interest rate deposits. Well, if people are doing that at such pace, the money can still stay within Schwab's asset management, but it could earn higher interest rate, as in Schwab would have to pay interest rate. So that could be a bigger hit. This realization, which is great, which is good. I mean, I say every time to everybody, hey, move your deposits to a higher yielding account. And that's one of the questions that we will address coming forward. But with that said, it's not good for Schwab. And that kind of tells me that we don't want to be invested in this sector till we know what's the impact on the earnings. It's not a binary outcome that if a bank fails, we would sell. If it's not going to fail, let's buy the stock. It's not that simple. The impact of earnings based on tightening credit conditions, increased regulation, increased FDIC fees on banks, and the fund outflow from zero interest rate deposits. All of these are a big headwind, well, multiple headwinds put together, and something to be careful about and stay away from the financials for now, unless you have a better read. So with all of that happening, what happens with the banks failing, the uncertainty, that is the anxiety around the stability of the financial system, what does it do? Well, anytime that happens, gold goes up. And now, the new age gold, so as they say, cryptocurrency, aka mostly Bitcoin, went up. So spot gold went up 8.5%. That was like, you know, uncertainty happens. What are you going to do? Go back to the commodities, especially silver and gold, but even more especially gold. So it was up 8.5% for the quarter. But talk about cryptocurrency. While we had a lot of failings, a lot of companies failed in this area, and FTX, of course, we all know what happened with that. Sam Bankman-Fried, we know what happened with that. All of that happening in the background and continuing to happen, different failures in the crypto space. With all that said, Bitcoin was up 71%. Bitcoin was up 71% from about 18,000 to 28,000 in the quarter. Personally, I don't get it, but I guess people get it. I guess the people who flocked into it were moving away from the financial system. Ethereum was up 52%, less than Bitcoin. Bitcoin is picking up the case because it was supposed to be their replacement currency. I don't see it, not yet, not so far, but that's what drives the sentiment. Oil, let's talk about oil. Oil was down from 80 to 75. Why would oil be down? Mostly the reason I would say would be recessionary concerns. As soon as the bank started to fail, the interest rate saw a hike by the Federal Reserve. Well, put those two together and yep, investors thought there will be a recession. The odds of the recession increased. What happens in a recession? Well, we don't know how long the recession would be if it comes. And if it lasts longer, the demand takes a hit. What happens when demand takes a hit? Industrial usage goes down, travel goes down, traffic goes down. All of that adds up to the oil pressure. So oil was down from 80 to 75, although I feel like this is just a pause, or I'm not saying it's a pause where it shoots back up again, but I don't see it falling much more. Let's mention two things. Fall, as in something went dead in this quarter, and a big win in terms of trends. So one thing that fell flat during the first quarter was the metaverse. Completely flat. That thing just is a joke now. Everybody wants to move away from it. Anybody who has named their company after metaverse, aka Meta, also is really afraid of mentioning it. It talks about it so less now. And Disney, like, shuttered its Metaverse division and fired everybody. Microsoft is almost shutting down its HoloLens unit. So Metaverse, this thing which was supposed to be like, hey, everybody get goggles or everybody get this headset and live in this new world, and everything that was promised to be something that we never actually saw, the ads, the Meta ads, are still a joke. So, well, they're going back to focus on efficiency. They're going back to focus on Instagram, which is what they have should have done all the while. But hey, with everything that happened, I feel Metaverse was the top failure, the top fail in this first quarter. Win, on the other side, is the trend of artificial intelligence, in two letters, AI. So ChatGPT was released late last year, but the speed that is picked up, like, oh my. The ChatGPT 4 got released now, the Microsoft event, that was a total surprise. Microsoft saying it will integrate ChatGPT 4 in Bing. Oh my, like, that was the biggest surprise in Google's history. I mean, maybe not the biggest surprise, but definitely a biggest challenge to its competitive position for quite a while. So Bing is coming up. Microsoft has been very fast. It's just like integrated a lot of AI already in its products, and it's like dead fast on getting it in Microsoft products as soon as possible. So dead is Metaverse. The Meta stock did good though, because it realized that the Metaverse is dead. As in, as of now, there is no clear application. It really saw this AI coming and really jumped. Mark Zuckerberg really jumped to this keyword, and now everywhere he's saying AI, AI, AI. And he's also saying now the biggest investment we do is AI. Do they? We don't know. But hey, they're catching up. In terms of companies that executed really well this quarter, I would say Microsoft. Microsoft just saw this opportunity and jumped on it. And Satya Nadella, the CEO, he's very aggressive, very soft in terms of his demeanor, which has helped a lot in terms of being in front of the Congress and not seeming a threat, but at the same time, very aggressive. The stock of Microsoft has gone from 239 on January 1st to 288 today, now at a PE of 26. So that's a honorable mention. Another thing, of course, you could see the winners of this year have been also governed by AI players. So NVIDIA up 87%. So there were a couple events. They did announce the new things, but are they going to pan out this year? No. Next year, maybe. It's long-term vision, but hey, that helped NVIDIA gain 87%. This company called C3.ai, which is, you know, was a hot thing in 2021. It went down all the way from high double digits, like 80s, 90s, to 10 bucks. 11 bucks, I think, was the downfall. But this year, starting January 1, from 11, now it's 33. It's gone triple. Why? Amongst other reasons, the ticker symbol is AI. So AI was the winning trend. Metaverse was the dead trend. That's the summary of this first quarter. What happened in January, that happened in February, what happened in March, what happened to different areas, what are the biggest winners, what are the biggest losers, my thoughts, what did gold do, what did Bitcoin do, what did the cryptocurrency world do, what did oil do, who was the biggest winner, and who was the biggest fail. So that was all. Now in the next and the last segment of this episode, I will address some questions that we received from listeners. Let's get to the questions. Three questions are we going to take today. First one is the question of the quarter, which with high interest rates, the question came in that I can reword it as, what to do with the cash sitting in my account? What's the best investment? Now, there are high yielding savings accounts. There is also something called money market funds, which is almost no risk. That is a feature that can be offered in many accounts. I have a Fidelity account, which offers a sweep in which you can transfer your sitting cash to money market fund, and that happens at the end of every day. Now, do consider this, that cash is covered by FDIC. Money market fund is an investment, so that's covered by SIPC. It's not covered by FDIC, but money market funds have been safe since we know, and they would yield high interest. So 4.15% interest is, I think, what I'm getting on my Fidelity MMFs. You can invest in MMF or talk to your bank. How can you invest your cash in MMF? Another option, well, also apps like Robinhood would give you 4.25% interest. Another option that has not ever been easy for individual investor to invest in has been treasury yields. So treasury bills, which is T-bills. It was very difficult. You'd have to go to a website. You have to fill something, link it to the bank. It wasn't supposed to be an easy task, but now it is. So Public, the app, has a treasury account, so you can invest directly as if you were investing in a stock. Like, it is that easy through the app, some clicks, and you're down for 4.89% interest. So you could do all those things. So that 4.89% interest, by the way, comes with a 26-week lock-in. So you're keeping it for 26 weeks. So yeah, I mean, should you really go from here to there just for 0.2%, 0.5% interest? Probably not. You definitely should keep an account that you don't have more than $250,000 sitting in one bank. Of course, you can look at the bank and we can talk about in detail about their loan portfolio, about their interest rate risk, about the deposit flow, fund flow. I wrote a post on LinkedIn that the 7 things to really see if you want to assess your bank or any other bank, whether it's safe or not. But with all that said, if you can keep it $250,000 in bank and then move it around, that would be good. Also, 0.5 percentage points, usually it can be helpful, but it may not make that much of a difference. So what may matter more is what's the flexibility to use that cash? Where is the cash sitting that you can use most, make the most use of when you need it? For example, if it's sitting in a brokerage account, you could buy it. You can buy stocks when you need it. So that availability, that flexibility is also important. But with that said, a high yield savings account, money market funds, or treasury bills. Either of these options, you would use and generate about 4% to 5% interest right now at this point, which is great. So I would say that. Second question is, should I now take advantage of the dip in bank stocks? So the answer, if you listen to the first part of this episode, would translate to a no. And that's not me saying that I see a lot more trouble ahead. I don't know. Nobody knows. Fed Chair Jerome Powell doesn't know. Treasury Secretary Yellen doesn't know. President Biden doesn't know. So we don't know that. What we know is there is a lot of shakeup that has happened in such a short period of time. There's a lot of deposits being thrown here and there. There's a lot of movement that people are making in where their capital is invested. It's too quick. It's too soon. I would wait to see the impact. And that is also happening in an era where the interest rates are rising and rising fast. They've risen very fast. So last March, I think, is when they started to raise rates. And now we're almost 5%. Like, there were 375 bips hikes that we've not seen. Like, the first 75 bips hike that we saw last time before last year was 1994. Anyway, not going into that rabbit hole, but I'm saying the interest rates have also risen too fast. And let's see what happens with the credit conditions now and accordingly to the economy. But I wouldn't be really far-pressed to go back to the banking sector because there's a lot of uncertainty. If anything, it has only made me feel worse about being able to assess a bank because so many things can go wrong. Could be regulatory risk, could be interest rate risk, could be credit risk, could be reputational risk. There's so many things that can go wrong, and you don't want an investment generally that if something goes wrong, it goes to zero. So it has also scarred me a little bit, even though fortunately I was not invested in those banks. But it still leaves me a bad taste and feel like unless you're the expert and you have analyzed one bank in detail and you have trust and faith and you want to go in and make big money, which can also happen because they can bounce back right away, you can go do that. Like First Republic Bank today is $12. It came down from 122 or something. So, hey, if things go well, it may bounce back. It may double, triple. But that's a risk you can take. But that's only understanding the risk you're taking. So I wouldn't really rush into them. Definitely, if you want to favor and want to invest, buy the big banks, because where is all this money going? People are taking money off. Let's say they had $400,000 in a community bank while they're saying, I need to move 150. So they must have moved it to a big banks. They could have moved to something else or big banks. So JP Morgan is the strongest balance sheet. It's not a news. It's a commonplace thing that everybody knows. So banks like JP Morgan Chase will have a lot of deposit inflows. Would have had tremendous deposit inflows over the last weeks and a month. So yeah, if you do want to invest, well, I would go with the big banks. Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs will be good, but they will also be a little bit more shaky with what happens with the IPO and deal making. Bank of America has a lot of unrealized losses, so that's not a good thing. The thing that is helping Bank of America is it will have deposit inflow, not outflow, so it's not going to feel unless it's an outflow. JP Morgan comes out of the best winner out of them, getting more deposits. So that's that. But there's also a new ETF that launched actually just last week, which is called, the symbol is Big B. So it's about big banks, and its holdings are basically only the big banks. That would be the JP Morgans, the Goldman Sachs, the Morgan Stanleys. So that's a place you could look at, but not that's only if you want to look at. I'm not necessarily suggesting you should. Just stay away from this for a while. Let's see how it pans out. Yeah, there could be money made. Yeah, there could be a lot of bounce backs. If you do want to play that game, you can go with a bank that is risky and that can yield good returns if it's not that risky. But what happens to the earnings, we don't know. We have to see the earnings season, what the banks say. Let's take a look. Why rush in? That's my take. Third one is, what sectors and stocks are you investing right now? I'm going to actually take this as a theme and maybe in my quarterly reviews do this as a segment at the end anyway. So, sectors that did not do that well in the first half have been healthcare and energy. And in some reason, you could say it's in the same trend of it being opposite of the year before, right? Where energy and healthcare did very good. Of course, financials held in as well. This year, they did not, because, of course, we know what happened in the banking sector. But other than that, it's been an opposite. So I would say and pick those two sectors and go ahead with that. And two stock names, I would say, if I had to pick for this quarter, and not necessarily saying that they would rise by 30th June, but saying that they are at attractive valuations given their past performance and are strong companies, and one from each sector would be United Health from healthcare and Chevron from energy. So if you look at United Health, it's as steady as it comes, and it is every earning report is a beat and raise. Like, the company executes so well. It is now at about 16.5 times forward that from current estimates. And it doesn't usually fall to that. It usually trades between, it does trade between 50 to 21 times forward, but 16.5 is lower side of that range. I would go with this better than anything. So for a stable investment. So 472 is where United Health Group trades right now. It's the insurance company, as you know. And then the other one is Chevron. Chevron is, all like other energy companies, trades and moves along with the price of oil. Not always justified equally, but, you know, that's what happens. So the oil came from 80 to 75. Some stocks took more hit. Now, today, is it is $311 billion in market cap. And It's EBITDA, earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization, is about 65 billion. So I think it's sitting about 4.5 times EV to EBITDA from what I'm looking at. It's profitable, it's growing CAP, CapEx, and riding the up wave in the energy. And yeah, the revenue will decline this year, but that will be just because of the oil prices falling down from last year. But it's going to stabilize and increase. It's about 11 times forward earnings and about 3.7% dividend rate. So I would suggest that. I would hold on to that. If I don't have that, I will buy it. So, and today it's 163. So United Health at 472 and Chevron at 163. So those would be my two picks and sectors. Those were the questions. Thanks, listeners, for adding the questions. If you do want to submit more questions, you can go and submit if your podcast platform allows for it, or follow my Instagram, The Sunny Point, TheSunnyPoint, and DM me all the questions that I can take. Overall, I would say it's been a while since I did the last podcast, and I'm wondering what should the right rhythm be. And sometimes I want to make it great, I want to make it perfect, and that takes so much of my weekend time that I don't end up publishing something. So right now my thought is it is an end of the quarter, so let's hope that I would do at least for a year. So quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, every 3 months I come and see what happens to the market, how the things went, what are the things worth looking at now, with some stock ideas and answering some listener questions. If you like this, let me know on any platform that you appreciate it. The more you like it, the more I hear from you, the more I will be energized to do more of these. Thank you. Hope you got good value. If you learned anything new, please share with your friends. Your word of mouth is what we're going after. There's no advertising budget after it. So please help me energized. We'll keep it growing together. Hope it helped, and hope it helps your financial journey. Thank you, and have a great second quarter.